Hey everyone, this is Brian from the Tennis IQ Podcast. Josh and I hope that you are enjoying the content and discussions that we put out week after week. If you'd like to support the podcast and help us to continue to produce quality episodes, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Currently, we have three tiers of support: the fan level at $3 per month, the supporter level at $7 per month, and the champion level at $20 per month. Benefits of joining the Tennis IQ podcast community include episode transcripts, participation in book club discussions, and access to monthly masterclasses with me and Josh. For more on these benefits of support, head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership. Thank you so much. And now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis IQ Podcast. I'm Josh Berger.
And I'm Brian Lomax. And today Josh and I are going to discuss an article by the title of "Does Venting Anger Feed or Extinguish the Flame?" So recently I was doing some research into self-regulation techniques and theories, and I was looking in Google Scholar just for some articles that I could read on that topic. And I wasn't specifically looking for this article, but it popped up and the PDF was available. So I was like, let's take a look at this, because this is a question that I get very often, especially from tennis players, which is, you know, should I let the anger out? Should I do something? Is it okay to let it out and then just go on to the next point? And so, you know, this question is great. And I think it's something, Josh, that we can discuss today to help, you know, the listeners understand, okay, what really works? You know, what does the evidence show with respect to this? Because, and we'll explain a couple of theories that go behind it, but the idea of this study was to look at when angered, would venting frustration by hitting a punching bag and thinking about different things actually help to reduce anger and reduce aggression in the participant? Right. And so let's first look at kind of the two competing theories. So one theory will say that venting anger should reduce angry feelings and aggression. And the other theory will say that it doesn't. So the first theory is catharsis theory. And Josh, be great if you could explain that to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, catharsis theory is that venting one's anger will produce a positive improvement on their psychological state. So essentially that by letting out the anger and sort of venting it, the theory is that somehow helps their psychological state. This is directly from the article. According to catharsis theory, acting aggressively or even viewing aggression is an effective way to purge angry and aggressive feelings. Sort of blowing off steam or letting that anger out is helpful. That's what this particular theory states.
And it's interesting that that goes back to Sigmund Freud. You know, the letting off steam kind of goes with his thought about this is like a hydraulic pressure within the body. And if you don't let it out, you know, something really terrible could happen. You could explode in rage at some later point. The other theory is what's called cognitive neo-association theory, which basically says that aggressive thoughts, aggressive actions can lead to an association with other aggressive actions. So we all have within us probably times where we have acted aggressively, and maybe it's led to something, and that is basically stored, you know, in our own memory, our own long-term memory about that. And so when we start to act more aggressively, it makes associations with past aggressive behavior or aggressive thoughts, and it tends to lead to more of those being present. So those are kind of the two competing theories. One would say, yes, we should vent anger. The other one would say that probably not a good idea to do this. So Josh, let's talk a little bit about the actual study and then the conclusion. So do you want to explain a little bit about, just very briefly, what the researchers did to discover or come to some conclusions based on these theories?
Yeah. So essentially, they took a group of about 600 people, 300 men, 300 women, and essentially they had three groups. They had a control group, they had a rumination group, and they had a distraction group. So the control group, they didn't use the intervention. With the rumination group, essentially they to start they wrote an essay. So they wrote an essay on a particularly inflammatory, controversial topic, we can say, which is about abortion. And the way that the study was set up was that no matter how they, you know, no matter what stance they took on this topic, they would receive very negative feedback. Essentially, you know, on a scale of, I believe it was, yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, very bad, or net minus 10 being very bad, they would receive, you know, from a -8 to a -10, with even, you know, a handwritten comment on the essay saying, this is one of the worst essays I've ever read. So essentially, they were intentionally bringing out feelings of anger in the participants, because whatever they wrote could have been the most beautifully written essay. They would receive this overwhelmingly negative response to it. And so that's how the study started, right? So sort of, bringing out that anger. And then with these three groups, right? So the two of the three groups were going to be hitting a punching bag, but they were given different instructions. So for the first group, which was the rumination group, they were hitting the punching bag, and they were told to really think about the person who gave the feedback on the essay. So they were shown a photo of that person, or who they thought was that person, and they were told to think about that person as they were hitting the punching bag, sort of letting their anger out, you know, while thinking about that person. Well, the other group, which was the distraction group, so they said, was told to also hit that punching bag, but instead they were shown a photo of somebody from a health magazine where they were told to think about the benefits of exercise for physical fitness. So given two completely different tasks here, one, you know, to sort of think about the person that allegedly gave them this, you know, really negative feedback on that essay that they wrote, and the other to think about maybe some of the positive benefits of the action that they're doing, right? The exercising, but essentially distracting themselves. And then again, a third group where they essentially did nothing for 2 minutes, and, you know, and then at the end, they took the three groups and they tested them on a number of measures relating to anger and aggression. And that's sort of how the study was set up. And yeah, I think the findings were quite interesting. And anything you would want to add to that, Brian?
No, I think that was a really good explanation of it. So let's talk about some of the findings. And maybe it'll surprise people, maybe it won't, that the idea of venting your anger does not seem to work when it comes to reducing anger. Letting off steam is not right. So catharsis theory basically is incorrect, or doesn't prove out through the research, and that instead the cognitive neo-association theory was proved more so in this study as well as many others. And so if we look at the three groups, the one that tested to be the most aggressive was the one that hit the punching bag and ruminated on whoever, you know, gave them that negative feedback. So that was the group that had the most aggression. The second group, punching bag with distraction, also had less aggression, for sure, than the first group, but more aggression than the group that did nothing. So, which is kind of interesting, because that's the opposite of what we would normally say, I think, or is this sort of the conventional wisdom, is like, yeah, you got to let some steam off. Here, this shows that actually doing nothing reduced anger more than the other two. Now, there are a lot of things that could be added in, I think, to this study, Josh, and I think you'd agree, right? And even the researchers talked about, for the group that did nothing for those 2 minutes, we could have probably even added something like some breathing techniques, some other things that might have helped to reduce the anger more intentionally. But just by doing nothing, that worked. The distraction group, while it did have less anger, which is a good thing, the one thing I questioned, Josh, about this was that they noticed that the distraction group, thinking about physical fitness, hit the bag more times than the rumination group. But I think, I don't know that they asked why. Because if you were thinking about it, what if you just got into this whole thing of like, oh, I'm getting in better shape? Yep. Maybe you'd hit it more, right? So I think that they may not have gone into that a little as much, or they may have had a false association with that. But I thought that was interesting as well. So, you know, overall, this sort of debunks the notion that letting your anger out will be productive for whatever it is that you want to do, you know, in that next moment. And again, you know, we both get asked this question about what to do. And I think this research gives us now some better standing on how we could, you know, inform or advise players as to what to do when they're feeling this way. So Josh, is there anything else you want to say about the results? Is there something I may have missed?
I mean, I think the only thing I would add is that the results really validate and are in line with other longstanding research about this same topic, that there's been other research about, you know, these two conflicting theories, and it really has supported and backed up the fact that, you know, that venting anger doesn't help and actually backfires.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we talk about practical solutions, there might also be ways of labeling the emotions differently so that they lead to, you know, more productive behavior. Because one of the, you know, quote from the article was mislabeling the arousal from the physical activity as anger increases aggressive responding. So what if we were to change it to a different word? What if we were to change it to motivation or intensity? And you know, as we talk about practical applications, I'll get into that a little bit more about what I've done with some players who've asked this very question. So let's talk about that, Josh. Practical applications, right? So you're a tennis player. I'm a tennis player, Josh, who used to have a really bad temper. And I come to you and I'm like, Josh, man, I just got to let it out. Sometimes I just got to yell or just do something. You know, but I don't, it doesn't always work. You know, what should I do?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would first of all, maybe question with the player. Okay. How often does it actually work? How often does it feel like letting out that anger actually helps you to play better, to be ready for the next point, to, you know, to have the types of results that you want? I think as a starting point, and I know this is something we've talked about a lot in, you know, in the past, but I think as a starting point, really having a solid between point routine is a great starting point. And I think, you know, that's generally something that people don't always establish on their own or always establish with a coach. So I think spending the time, and whether that's with, you know, a sports psychology professional, whether that's through maybe certain tips and resources, but having a way to systematically put one point behind you, reset, and be ready to go for the next point, I think is key in order to help handle the ups and downs of the sport, right? We've talked a lot about tennis being a sport of instant feedback, where after every single point, you either win it or you lose it. And I think for a lot of people, their default state is to sort of ride the ups and downs of the sport, and it can be sort of an emotional roller coaster, right? They win a point and there's a high, they lose a point, there's a low, and they constantly go from the high to the low and the high to the low throughout a match just based on the results. And I think there's, you know, I think having a routine, it can be a great starting point because it gives us a way to reset and really be ready for that next point. So I think, you know, I think the routine is a great starting point to really helping us manage that anger. And I think that would be a starting point. And I think also, you know, normalizing it, understanding that everyone does get angry at times, but really trying to put in, you know, that we don't need to ignore that, or we don't need to pretend that it's not there, so we can accept the anger, but also really trying to put the emphasis on how do we respond when we are angry, when that anger comes, you know, can we put the priority or the emphasis on our response in that situation and help a player understand that they have choice, that their response to that anger is one of those things that is within their control. So yeah, I think there's different things that a player can do, but I think really committing to a routine, a system between points, being intentional about their self-talk, their breathing, that sort of thing, can really help them to manage the inevitable, and I'll say inevitable here, that inevitable anger and frustration that happens in the course of a tennis match.
So as someone who has lived through this, because, you know, I could have been asking you that question for real if I were, you know, 16-year-old, 17-year-old Brian, that totally resonates, right, with what you said. And it was the way back for me to do it. For me, the experience wasn't so much, I mean, the roller coaster was a little bit different. For me, it was not so many highs. It was just like relief and then terrible. And so tennis was not fun on that particular roller coaster either, because it was winning was just a relief. It was not joyous per se. It was just like a relief that didn't lose. And losing points was felt awful, right? So that roller coaster also is not fun. And tennis wasn't fun. And me expressing anger only tended to make it worse out there. And so the way to better tennis and a more enjoyable experience, Josh, was absolutely what you just said, is finding a routine. But I think it was also valuing that next point. As you said, right, the point of the routine is to be ready for that next point. And that's where I felt like that was my deficit. I wasn't ready for that next point. So I committed to that. Because that was, you know, if I'm going to be telling people that I really want to win matches, then I need to actually take the actions that produce such attitudes and behaviors, right? So I think that is absolutely critical. So when we have these types of feelings, you must have some sort of good routine between points that you're following nearly all of the time, you know, given, you know, where you are in your mental skills journey. I have tended to add on, depending on the player, some additional things into the routine to help in this situation. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend this to every player, but a couple players recently have told me that they had been angry and were looking for ways to somehow deal with that better. And they came, you know, with the thought that letting it out would work, right? Sort of the catharsis theory that I think we all think is right, but really doesn't help. And so we talked about labeling the emotion differently. So, like, as I read from the article, if we call it anger, well, then that's probably going to lead to more aggressive and unproductive behavior. But what if we decided to look at this energy, because we could just look at it as energy. We're creating some energy through this emotion in our body. Normally, when we get angry, it's kind of a self-reflective, looking at the past kind of thing, criticizing whatever's happening, focused on the problem. What if instead we could channel that emotion forward into the next point, into perhaps something called motivation or intensity? So now we're not necessarily angry, but instead we're motivated to do better. We want to channel that forward. So what we've worked on is incorporating some very specific self-talk around intensity and motivation, along with one little physical task. And the physical task is just a thigh tap. Tap your thigh just a couple times lightly, not in a way that you're punishing yourself, but just tapping it lightly. And at that moment, using some very specific self-talk like, all right, next point, you got this, right here, right now. And we would design that self-talk so that it's about getting ready for the next point. So we're channeling the energy that we have created or that is present, and we're labeling it now, instead of anger, we're labeling it intensity. We're labeling it motivation. We're going to use that energy to go forward. There's a great book written some years ago called The Upside of Your Dark Side by Robert Biswas Diener and Todd Kashtan, that really talks about how to embrace and use, you know, some of these other emotions. We typically label emotions as positive or negative or good and bad, and it's not really true, right? They're just emotions. They're there, you know, for some reason, but can we use them in ways that are more productive? And so the feedback on that, Josh, has been really positive about how it's helped them get through these tougher moments and be even more ready for that next point. And so, and both of these players that I've done this with recently have good, solid between point routines that they've used and that they like. And so this has just been a nice little add-on to that. I did phrase this as like, this is sort of the interim solution, right? To me, we know you're really in a good place when you're not really getting frustrated or angry at all. Because if you think about it, as you said, normalizing this is important. People make mistakes, people lose points, but very often the mistakes or points that you've lost are not fatal to your chances in the match. It's simply a point, and you're able to come back almost always and play a good point on the next one. And so the more that we understand that, perhaps the less angry we get, right? So any thoughts about that type of intervention as well, Josh?
I like it. I think it's a nice addition to it. To me, it almost reminds me of, you know, we've talked about the routine, and I know talked about also sort of like adding in extra elements, whether it's like a yellow light or red light routine for when things, right? We have, you know, with the idea being that we want to use our routine between every point, but we have something a little bit extra planned for those moments where we really need it, where maybe there's been a couple of unforced errors or double faults in a row. Maybe we're down love 30, love 40. Maybe we're really starting to feel ourselves getting angry, and maybe we can add in a little bit extra. So I think having something like that, that thigh tap, having something like, you know, being able to really channel it, and having not just being able to channel it, having a specific way, a specific method to channel it, is really helpful. And I think people, you know, people are looking for those specifics, right? I know, you know, you've talked about actually in your book, Brian, using the shock absorber, using your shock absorber, and sort of pushing that as a reset button, and being able to pair that with your with, you know, somebody's breath as a way to also reset. And I think, yeah, I think the breath can certainly play a big role here. But I think, you know, sometimes people, coaches or parents or, you know, or just in society, we hear, oh, breathe, breathe. And sometimes I'll hear, you know, from players, and they'll say, oh, well, I've tried breathing and that doesn't work. And you know, and that's sort of their starting point, where it's like, okay, can we not just tell somebody to breathe, but really focus on how we do that, right? Can we make sure somebody's breathing in an intentional way? Can we make sure it's, you know, diaphragmatic, that where, you know, be intentional about where the breathing is coming from, make sure that we're sort of extending that exhale longer. You know, there's things like box breathing as well that can be effective. But, you know, can we make sure that we're really using these skills intentionally, not just sort of going through the motions, but really make sure that these skills are used in an intentional way. But so, yeah, I really like the addition there. I think that's something that people could use in terms of a yellow light or red light routine for when things are in a tougher place, when, you know, when there's a little bit more turmoil there. And I think that it makes a lot of sense to add in something like that. And yeah. And I think just a reminder that when we go through a routine that, yeah, that's really done intentionally, and that we're using some of these different pieces, whether it's the breath, whether it's the self-talk, whether it's the analysis of the last point, whatever some of these different pieces are, but we're really trying to not just feel like we're going through the motions. We're really, you know, taking our time, we're resetting, we're saying, okay, whatever happened there, it's in the past. I can't do anything about it, right? So the only thing I can really do is try to put it behind me and then really focus on the next point, really try to be ready for that next point. And I think if we can get to that stage where we are focusing on what we're going to do next. Like if we think about the 16 second cure, we think about that third step, that preparation stage, and we're really trying to think about, okay, what am I going to do in that next point, right? If I'm, you know, can I plan out how I want that point to start? If I'm serving, that serve and serve plus one, if I'm returning, return and return plus one, if I really have a clear plan, if I can really, you know, sort of picture myself going through those, you know, starting the point in the way that I want to, and I at least have that in clear intention, then when I'm not focusing on that last point anymore, then that anger, I think by and large, is going to have faded away, right? I think we've shifted our focus from the past to really the present, and then even starting to look towards the future. So I think, yeah, using some of these tools, and yeah, again, whether it's the routine, whether it's adding in aspects to the routine, can really make a difference, can really help a player to handle those sorts of feelings that will come up.
And the most basic thing to add into your yellow light routine is simply taking more time.
Yep.
Right. And so yellow light obviously means it's a caution thing, right? In a traffic light, metaphor, it's to slow things down. So we just deactivate, even if you don't do the thigh tap and the other stuff, channeling it into intensity, just by doing the breathing, as you mentioned, Josh, and taking a little extra time should dissipate the feelings much more so than you acting out on them. And I think that's really the contrast here, is if we were to have two players, one who gets angry and vents and one who gets angry and just takes more time between points and breathes, the one that takes more time and breathes will most likely perform better, and then way more likely to perform better than the one who's going to be expressing anger more and more. And so, you know, this I think is really just meant to give all of you some things to think about in terms of how you want to respond to that emotion of anger or frustration. Of course, being aware that that emotion is there is the key, because sometimes we're maybe not aware and we just act. It's reacting. But if we can be more aware, now you can choose a path to go forward with. So any last thoughts, Josh, for practical applications?
No, I mean, I think, well, maybe one other would be visualization. I think we can visualize ourselves, as we've talked about, you know, visualize ourselves in different situations that we're likely to be in. And one of those situations is being in an angry state, right? We will get angry, right? So can we plan out that response? Can we visualize ourselves in that situation? Okay, this is the situation. I just hit a double fault and I'm angry. Or my opponent made what I perceive to be a bad line call and I'm angry. So let's start there with the visualization, and then visualize how we want to respond in that situation and plan it out. And, you know, and again, we've talked about this, but there's different ways we can do this. And yeah, really try to not just see ourselves, but really try to put ourselves in that moment and plan out what that response looks like. Okay, I'm going through, I'm taking some extra time, I'm using my breath, I'm using my routine, I'm using that, you know, channeling of the negative emotions into intensity, and using that thigh tap, whatever it is for you, you know, use, really try to visualize yourself doing that and plan it out. And I think, you know, it's important that we can visualize what we want to happen, but also what we don't want to happen, which is maybe the anger, because then we can visualize, you know, and we can visualize what we want that response to look like and really plan that out and, you know, and rehearse it. Okay, this is how I want it to happen, you know, and I'm seeing myself, I'm experiencing myself responding the way that I want to.
Right, right. And you just reminded me that two of the players I've done the thigh tap thing with recently, before we got into that routine, they both described to me that when people make bad calls against them, it actually gets them to a point where they play better. They want to like prove, right? So not everybody reacts that way. Some people will get upset and get stuck in the past, but both of these players said that it fires them up. And so my point was like, all right, so you actually have this skill of turning this particular emotion into something positive and productive for you. And that was the reason we actually went with the thigh tap and the labeling of it differently, because they already demonstrated that they had this ability to channel it forward. So that would be one thing to think about. Do you have this ability to channel it forward? You could certainly practice that. But if you don't, I think a lot of the things with just taking more time, breathing, etc., would work much better than venting all of that anger. Right. And a good point on the visualization, Josh. The more we know what kind of leads to these emotions, the more prepared we can be. Right. So, well, that's our show for today. Thank you all for listening. For more on today's episode, please check out the show notes. If you have any feedback or questions for the two of us, please email us at tennisiqpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you're enjoying the content that Josh and I discuss on the show, please rate and review the podcast so other tennis enthusiasts can find it more easily. Additionally, to be notified of new episodes, please subscribe to the show on your podcast platform of choice, including YouTube. You can also follow us on Instagram. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/tennisiqpodcast/membership, where you can learn about the benefits of being part of the Tennis IQ podcast community. Thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon in our next episode.